So it's nice to be with you all tonight again here at New Cumnock. I hope you're not too disappointed if you heard the early announcements that it was going to be a younger man that was here. It's sometimes too bad when the father has to just be the substitute for the son. But glad to be here just the same. Now we're going to ask you if you do want to follow the scripture reading tonight. It's just a few verses in John's Gospel, chapter 6. The Gospel account given to us by John, and in the 6th chapter. John chapter 6, verse 16. And when evening, was now come, his disciples, this is the disciples of the Lord Jesus, went down unto the sea, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship. And immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Now we're confident that the Lord adds his blessing, especially to the public reading of his precious word. Now I'm presupposing tonight that you might well be acquainted with the other two passages in the Gospels that help us to add to this picture. We've read John's account of this, but we discover that Matthew in chapter 14 and in Mark in chapter 6 of their Gospels, they also add to the picture and give us, if you like, a full understanding of what happened on this, what was a momentous night for the disciples of the Lord Jesus. It is clear from reading this passage, and of course from reading many other passages in God's Word, that the analogy that life is a journey holds good. I think all of us would understand that we're not here forever. Life is a journey. You can view it as a voyage, if you like, but we're on the way through. We're travelling from one side to the other. I think as we look around in the world today, now I don't suppose New Cumnock will be any exception, that sometimes it is sad to note that there are those living their lives as though they were here forever. No thought of the future. No thought of eternity. Sometimes we sing, you know, there's a hymn at the very beginning of these books that you're using here, you know, when upon life's billows we are tempest tossed. So life is a voyage. Sometimes it is difficult. Sometimes we feel it hard going. And you tend to think that we're making little or no progress, and it's difficulties all the road. But then there are other times and, well, it's plain sailing, isn't it? And we're happy when we get occasions like that and we're making good progress through life. But it's a voyage, it's a journey. And no 2 days are the same, and sometimes no one's life circumstances are the same either. This journey that you and I are engaged in began the day that we were born. This journey will end the day that we die. But there's a blessed exception to that. And it may be for many of us here in this meeting, it could end at the coming of the Lord Jesus. And we may never need to die. But this journey has a life as a beginning. And this journey, the journey of life, has an end. What is sad today is when you look around and notice, and this is all too true, that there's a great emphasis on the journey. Indeed, there's an overemphasis on the journey, and there's little or no consideration as to the end. There was another occasion when the Lord Jesus spoke to these same disciples, and this is what he said. As he stood on one side of the Sea of Galilee, he said to these disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." And you look around today, and you watch men, women, young people, how they're living, how they're thinking, and there's an overemphasis on the journey, and no thought of the other side. How sad that is. Well, I know they'll say, well, we're living life to the full, and it's life with a capital L, and they're spending their days trying to pack it in, all the activities and all the pleasures and joys in it, and so they say, well, this is what it's all about, life with a capital L. But the Bible makes it clear that the other side is what we should be thinking. That's where our priorities ought to be. You see, there was a question that James, he raises as he writes in our New Testament. And the question that James raises is this. What is your life? Now that's a very important question. Now I want you to note this. James does not ask, what is life? He's not thinking of, you know, what the secret of life is. Why are we here? Where did we come from? Where are we going? The philosophy, all the theories and notions. James is not thinking in that. He's not asking what is life. But it's a personal question. And James is asking, what is your life? And the Bible makes it clear that your life, my life, is but a prelude to eternity. Never thought about it like that? We're on our way to the other side. And we need to reprioritize, if you like, and get our minds tuned to be thinking of the importance of the other side. Our life is a prelude to eternity. The Lord Jesus also asked a question whilst he was here. And the question the Lord asked was this. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now think about what the Lord Jesus is saying there. The possibility, were it possible that here, on the way through, if it were possible on the journey through life, that we were to gain the whole world. But in eternity, to be a lost soul. What a tragedy. So we're thinking about the journey. But we're realizing the importance is the other side. So here in this little incident, we have a beautiful picture that helps us just to realize what is important about our little journey here in the scene of time. It's interesting when we look at this, that here's the Lord Jesus, and he's not with the disciples on this occasion. But again, you see, were we to read the other gospel writers, they'll tell us that the Lord Jesus, that he was on a mountaintop, overlooking the Sea of Galilee. I want to emphasize that tonight. You see, that there are those, there's just this strange notion today, that, well, if there is a God, then he's up there somewhere or other, and he's remote, and he's distant, and he's austere, and what does he care? I want to tell you tonight, there's a God in heaven that's intensely interested in each and every one of us. And as the Lord Jesus was on this mountain, looking down, he saw these disciples. His eye was upon them. And he knew their problems, their difficulties. And he cared. He understood. And he will come to them. There's a God in heaven tonight. And as I've indicated, he knows all about us. And the fact of the matter is, in spite of what he knows about us, he cares. And he loves. And he wants the very best for us. The great God of heaven of eternity has upon his heart your best bliss and my best bliss. Longing that we might know forgiveness of sin. Longing that we might have peace with him. Longing that we might be with him in eternity. And the Lord Jesus was looking down. And he sees them. And he knows all about them. And he is going to come to them, but not just yet. There's a little thing recorded here that we do well just to take note of. We read it. It was now dark, and he was not come to them. I don't need to come to Newcomer tonight to present to you something of the awfulness of this world. The dreadful darkness that's all around us. Spiritual darkness as well as moral darkness. The days in which you and I are living are dreadful days, friend. And the darkness, as is indicated in God's word, is becoming increasingly intense. We're not to be surprised at this. It's in perfect keeping with God's word. The end times and the signs that would mark those living in the last days. You know, things being legalized, provision being made for sin today that's an absolute abomination as far as God is concerned. This used to be known as Bible-loving Scotland. They've turned their back on it. They've turned their back upon God. And about God's people, and about the good news that God would want them to have and know. We're living in dark days, desperate days. And if ever there are days that indicates the need of men and women of a Saviour, it's today. It was dark, and he was not yet come to them. But he will come. And you'll notice that he comes walking to them in the water. So, of course, I know that generally speaking, we think of this as being a miracle. And I suppose in a sense it is. But this is the Creator. This is God's Son, the Lord Jesus, without whom was not anything made that was made. There was nothing for him to walk in the water. He was above it. Greater than. He's above every circumstance. And he comes, walking to them on the water. Now you just go home and read Mark's account of this. And Mark will tell us that as the Lord Jesus Christ comes walking to them in the water, in all the extremity of their need, Mark says, he would have passed them by until they called out for him. Now again, you're beginning to see how pertinent this message is. You're beginning to see how up to date this message is. When we're living in a world where God has provided a Saviour, and men, women, young people are allowing Him to pass them by. Isn't that true? Is there someone in the meeting tonight? How often have you heard this message? How often have you been confronted with the claims of Christ and your need of Him as a Saviour? And you come and you go without Christ. And time after time after time, you've allowed Him to pass you by. But as we look again, the Lord will say to them, He says, now, He says, be not afraid, He says. He says, it is I, be not afraid. And what we are saying tonight, here in this little hall, in New Cumnock, is that this is who you need when the Lord says, it is I. It is I, be not afraid. Here's the one that's able to dispel sin's darkness. Here's the one that's able to give you a standing, a righteous acceptance with God. Be not afraid. But when we look, and again, if you care to look at what Matthew says in this, we've mentioned Mark. Matthew again adds another little thing that helps us to fill in the picture. Because it's when Matthew records this incident that he speaks of Peter, the disciple, stepping over the side of the boat that night. Peter will say, Lord, if it is you, bid me come to you in the water. Lord says, come. And Peter, I tell you, that took a bit of faith at that moment, you know. And Peter steps over the side of the boat and he begins to walk toward the Lord Jesus. Ah. But just in a minute, you see, Peter takes his eye off the Lord. And Peter then becomes concerned and conscious of the waves that are billowing underneath him and the wind that's raging all around him. And Peter begins to sink. He begins to go down. And in that instant, Peter is going down under the chilly waters of Galilee. Peter is going to go down to a watery grave. But he prays. It's the shortest prayer in the Bible. Three words, each just of a single syllable. Lord, save me. Could the Lord refuse a prayer like that? No, He couldn't. The Apostle Paul and Peter, these two first great preachers of this message, you know, there was occasion when they preached the same message. Nothing wrong with that. These two great preachers, not on the same occasion, but they preached the same message. What was that message? It was this. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's simple. But again, let me note with you the clarity of these words. They did not preach, whosoever shall call the name of the Lord shall be saved. This was the message they preached. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is calling out upon someone, consequent upon your deep need of Him. That's what's required tonight in this meeting. Has it been your experience in the past Has there been that occasion? When out of a deep sense of your personal need and guilt, that you've called out upon the name of the Lord. I'll tell you, if you do that tonight, He'll save you. He must. He has promised. So Peter prays, Lord, save me. And you know, again, when we look at God's word, the scripture just seems to ring out, you see, and it's, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. You ever thought about it? There is coming a time when there'll be those who will call out and it'll be too late. Bible tells us that. How awful. There'll be those who will call, those who will seek him, and it'll be too late. So the message is, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him whilst he is near. There's a moment of opportunity that's yours tonight that might never be afforded you again. Isn't it lovely to notice that when Peter prays, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Did you notice that? Peter didn't turn to his colleagues in the boat. Those whom he knew well, those with whom he was well acquainted, his colleagues, they were fishermen. They knew all the moods of Galilee. They knew everything that this sea could throw at them. But in his extremity, in his need, Peter didn't turn to them. And in your need tonight as a sinner, there is no one else in this world that you can turn to. No friend, no colleague, no relative. No matter how influential the person might be, no matter how powerful in this world today. I've just been saying earlier the kind of world in which we're living, and it's a terrible world. But having said that, we are living in days of advanced, you know, as far as science, medicine, and you think in all these realms where men and women have reached the highest pinnacle, tremendous achievements and accomplishments today, and yet, they can't as much as lift their little finger to blot out one stain of sin. And it was to the Lord that Peter turned. It was the Lord that Peter recognized that he alone could save him. And it's to him that he appeals. Well, you might say, well, I'm not going down under the chilly waters of Galilee. I'm not going down to a watery grave. I want to say this, if you're still in your sin, you're going down under your sin and you're going down to the wrath and judgment of a holy God. You need to be saved. And only Christ can save you. And he'll appeal, Lord, save me. My dear friend, tonight, salvation is not a process. It's not something you have to work at. Immediately. Immediately the Lord will stretch out his hand and save Peter. You make that prayer tonight. You confess your sin. You repent of your sin tonight and realize that Christ alone is able to meet, and in faith, trustingly reach out, call upon Christ tonight. I tell you, there'll be an immediate salvation for you. Tonight, you can rejoice in it. But when we look again at this little incident, there's other lessons that are so important here. Because you would notice that it is said here that then they willingly received him into the ship. Like some of us here tonight can go back to that night or day or whenever it was when we willingly received Christ Oh, the change that it made in our lives, and oh, the change that it made as far as our future and our prospects is concerned. They willingly received him into the ship. How about it? There's another important thing here. Did you notice when he came to them? All this happened on the fourth watch of the night. What are we to understand by this? The night was almost over. It was almost the dawn. And I have every reason tonight to tell you that the night is almost over. It's almost the dawn. He came to them on the fourth watch of the night. And I look around and I see tonight all the evidence that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ draweth nigh. I don't want to be dramatic tonight. I wouldn't want to play an emotion. I'll have said it here before at New Cumnock, I'm sure. I'll say it tonight again. Just you compare the daily pages of your newspaper with the prophetic pages of the Bible and you'll come to the same conclusion. The coming of the Lord is near. The acceptable year of the Lord has almost run its course. There is nothing but nothing to prevent the Lord Jesus Christ from coming tonight. It's the fourth watch of the night. It is almost the dawn. So you see, there's an urgency about this business. You need to think about this. And so this is what we read here. He comes to them on the fourth watch of the night. But there's another little thing here. I don't want to prolong the meeting tonight, but it's vitally important. Because there's a second immediately. When the Lord Jesus Christ stepped into the boat that night, John records that immediately they were at the other side. Now that takes a wee bit thinking. Well, it's a wee while ago now. It's 1980 when I was in Israel with a few friends from Cross House. I remember one night we managed to persuade an old fisherman. Just after it was dark, well, we persuaded him with a few shekels. And just after it was dark, he took us out in his fishing boat around his colleagues who were fishing. Now that's a biblical scene. You know, you read time after time, of course, how they fished all night and so on. But there was one thing I particularly remember learning from that old man that night that I've never forgotten. And it's this. That the Sea of Galilee, at its shortest crossing, from one side to the other, is 8 miles. Just over 8 miles. Now take a wee note of that. From one side to the other, as far as Galilee is concerned, its shortest crossing is 8 miles. Now notice. So they had rowed, and they had toiled, and they had struggled. And then the Lord Jesus Christ comes on board, and it tells you here exactly how far they had got. It's in furlongs, but do your conversion. 3 to 3.5 miles. You got it? So they had rowed 3 to 3.5 miles. Immediately the Lord Jesus Christ gets on board, they're at the other side. What do we understand by this? It's the thought of what we call today eternal security. It's just this. The very moment that I took Christ on board my life, I was assured of heaven as though I were already there. That's it. The very moment that you come to know Christ as your Savior, you are as assured of heaven, the other side, as though you'd already arrived. Immediately, they were on the other side. And my dear friend, tonight, to be saved here in October in the year 2006 is to be saved for all eternity. Nothing and no one can deny you a place in heaven. Lord Jesus said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. No man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. It's a double security, his hand and the Father's hand. And immediately, they were on the other side. Maybe showing my age now, but I can remember when I was, well, I'm not very big yet, but I can remember when I was smaller and young, we sang a chorus in the Sunday school in here. We didn't realise what we were singing, and we sang it very heartily, but we didn't know how profound it was. We used to sing, with Christ in the vessel, we shall smile at the storm as we go sailing home. And if you've got Christ on board your life, well, it matters not the difficulties, the trials, the struggles, as far as this life is concerned. You're on your way to the other side. And it's absolutely assured, guaranteed, by the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus. So this is the message of the gospel. We want you to call out upon the Lord Jesus tonight. Because he and he alone is able to save. Why? Because he and he alone, being God's Son, died upon that cross at Calvary on account of sin. He had no sin. It was the just for the unjust. He was made the sin offering. And the wrath and the judgment and the condemnation that ought to have been mine, he bore it. And so it is tonight. We present it to you. The Lord Jesus Christ, longing that you should take him on board your life, longing you should know him in that heart of hearts of yours, a Saviour for the soul, this Saviour that is both sure and steadfast. That's the kind of hope that you can have as a Christian tonight. And let's not just be taken up with all that's happening on the way through. The big thing is the other side. Where are you going to be, my friend, on the other side, when this little life is over and done? Is it during the course of your life that you have altered your eternal destiny by placing your simple personal trust in God's Son, the Lord Jesus? So he's longing just to come, as he did this night. He's longing you should invite him on board, as they did this night. Not wanting to pass you by. So what about it? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. This moment of opportunity is afforded you again at the close of this meeting. May God bless his word and bless you all tonight. And it would be good for me just to leave this building knowing that all of us were heaven bound and able to live our life rejoicing in this knowledge, that nothing and no one can deny us a place in heaven because of our personal trusting faith in the finished work of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, upon that cross at Calvary. Thanks for your attention, shall we pray. Our Father, we thank thee again that opportunity has been afforded us tonight again in this late day of thy grace, another opportunity to preach the gospel, to present the good news, the glad tidings, that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is able to fit for heaven. Our Father, we thank thee for all who are here. Thou knowest every one. Thy word would teach us that the Lord knoweth them that are his. If it be tonight, our Father, that there's any present before us as yet not saved, our God, we commit them effectually to thee and pray for their salvation. These are great issues, our Father. We leave them in thy hands, and we just ask our God just to draw near and through thy Spirit speak to some hearts or even hearts tonight and draw them savingly to the Lord Jesus for salvation. We thank you for help given tonight, and we commit every preacher of this same message to thee, and every message that is being heralded tonight, we ask our Father that through thy Spirit there might be those that will come and trust in the Lord Jesus for their personal salvation. Be with us and go with us for good, our Father, as we thank thee again for help given in our Saviour's precious and worthy name. Amen. We will just take a minute and sing just two verses, please, of a closing hymn. It's number 280. 280. Pass me not, O gentle Saviour, hear my humble cry, while in others thou art calling, do not pass me by.